Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Age of Ultron Special Edition Podcast.
I got no strings to hold me down, to make me red or make me brown. I had strings, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me. Hi, ho, the merry old, that's the only way to be.
I told you, huh?
Anyone, they got strings, but you can see there are no strings on me.
Welcome, everybody, to the special edition podcast for Avengers Age of Ultron. I am your host, Marvel Ziggy. Joining me is my friend from Boston, who his balls are not deflated, Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
Yes, these balls are plentiful right here.
And joining us, MLG resident Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Tom Brady's a cheat, and he got busted.
Ha! Hey, you son of a...
And go Ray Rice.
We here at the Mighty Warriors 3 do not endorse wife beaters. Thank you very much.
Smack my bitch up. Pow!
And joining us from a man whose state has no football team because they don't deserve one. No! The Sooners suck, and so did the Cowboys. Mr. Jonathan Cartwright.
Howdy there, guys. How y'all doing? Let's get talking about this movie.
All right, yeah, so yeah. We are discussing the Avengers Age of Ultron. So just to let you know, spoilers abound, despite that the movie's been out 2 weeks, but I know some people are slow to the movies. So if you do not want to listen to spoilers, leave now and come back whenever you listen to them, whenever you finish the movie. With that being said, I have made it known that I think this is the worst Marvel movie since Iron Man 2. That feeling of weariness and feeling for the future of the Marvel Universe in terms of going forward and what I can expect for these movies, especially with the recent casting announcement of Civil War, which we'll get into next week's normal edition podcast, that, where do I start? I'm going to go with the bad. I'm opening up with the terrible shit.
Oh, this is inversion. Axis of inversion.
We're breaking with tradition.
That was an Ultron. There was flashes, but I can understand the reasoning why Ultron was a smartass, and if you liked it, fine. But what really killed it for me was that fucking last comment. Well, what was it, Hulk, who fucking runs up to the Quinjet and he basically goes, "Oh come on," what does he say? "Oh come on."
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just thinking, Ultron wouldn't say that. You know, and granted, again, you can make the argument like this and that. There are parts, like when he would get mad and, design-wise, I think Ultron looked great, but personality-wise, it just made me realize, man, Tony Stark is a fucking obnoxious asshole. Is what it made me think.
You're just now learning this? Okay.
Well, James Spader doesn't have that charm that fucking Robert Downey Jr. has. I can tolerate it with Downey. I can't tolerate it with James Spader for some reason.
He was dark Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I know.
Dark Tony. There
yeah,
you go, dark
yeah.
Tony.
And from
we
a,
call
from,
him that from now on.
Yeah, yeah. And from a parenting standpoint, like, the dad reference, that was nice. But just, like, mannerisms and just, like, plot, and it was just, like, That to me wasn't the Ultron I wanted to see.
This was casual Ultron.
Yeah, exactly. And
casual
if you like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, good point, actually.
Yeah, it was casual Ultron. And you know what I really hated? And this has nothing to do with the film, but I really hated the fact that they showed Vision so early as they did, because the way the film is structured...
Early?
In the trailer, in the fucking trailer, they show Vision at the end, right? And then here, the way they structure the film... I would have liked Vision a lot more, and I'll get to, I actually like Vision, I'm not going to lie, But in terms of that, you know how much of a surprise that would have been? Like, you go to the movie, Ultron, you don't suspect Vision, and then all of a sudden you hear he's building a body, and you see the body, and then you see Vision, and he copies the cape and everything, and like, that would have been cool, but no, the fucking, somebody had to edit it to where we show Vision at the end of the trailer so you know you're going to get Vision. That's ruining
the selling point.
That's no, you already point. Have, you already have the Avengers.
Ultron himself is not.
No, not no,
point.
Not even
Vision
Ultron.
Was.
Not even Ultron. You already had the Avengers. The event. You didn't. Uh-huh. You didn't need. You don't need selling points for this movie. You had
That's
the Avengers.
No,
you had
no,
that.
No.
That was. That's
no,
all
you
needed.
Need something to. You. They needed something to get you to go. Aside from, well, look, it's the Avengers again, because that's all you would have had.
And then you know what? Their fucking second week would have been bigger because it would have said a surprise character shows up. Don't tell anybody who it is. What I'm saying is it took away from the impact of his reveal. And if his reveal would have been
suddenly Vision.
But I really hated the fact that they went with the easiest kill and that they did not pull the trigger on Hawkeye and that they killed off Quicksilver. And this is not me being a Quicksilver fan, but the fact that you went with the lazy one, you went with the people had nobody had invested with. You went with somebody.
So that's all the Tumblr fangirls.
Oh,
my
they don't,
God.
They don't count. But you went with the new characters who had barely had little time to develop themselves. And again, I'm not speaking as a Quicksilver fan. I'm just saying you set it up perfectly to kill Hawkeye, and I think you know like that would have had a moment. You know, like a founding Avenger gets killed off. Like, that would have been
a
moment.
I'm pretty sure it was a bait and switch on their part, where they had led you to believe it was
going
to be
just
Hawkeye.
Go with
because
it.
He
just,
had too many death flags.
Just go with it.
Honestly, I'd have felt worse if he died. I'm glad he made it.
I personally
yeah,
wish
I
they would have just
you.
Killed him off.
No, because you
development in this movie.
Well, think about that. You have him. He shows up in Thor, doesn't do a whole lot. He's in Avengers. And he has a couple of lines, and
he has no personality
really until
Avengers.
The end. Well, exactly. So he doesn't get to do much. Here, you find out, you know, home life, and oh look, he's got the kid and stuff like that. And if you're a fan of the Ultimate books, you're like, oh, he's got a family. That's not going to end well.
Yeah, I was going. Oh God, this is going to suck when my kids watching.
You
this,
know,
yeah.
And then you look at how the fight was going, and. There were so many beats where it's like, oh God, he's gonna buy it here. Oh God, they, you know, they did this, that. It's like two or three different death flags for a character that they really kind of went.
But no, but they went with the lame-o.
And I'll grant you, it was
just not killing
anybody. You know, I'm with you on that because I wouldn't have killed off Quicksilver just yet either. You know, Quicksilver. I think Quicksilver was. Done for one movie because that was a concession to Sony because, well, Mutant. You know?
And why is Scarlet
really
Witch still alive?
Because she's an Olsen.
She's not even... I didn't even know she existed until fucking Godzilla came out.
Oh, yeah.
They fucking keep their chain...
Wait,
their chain.
They were both in Godzilla. Holy shit, I just realized that.
They were husband and wife.
Wow, isn't that kind of...
I was saying, talk about subtext, you know?
Well, the way they were holding hands at the beginning of the movie lets me think, are they going to go the incestuous route? But they didn't. But...
Wait a minute. Let me get this out there. Did you guys see that meme where you had the shot of the dude and his friend from Kick-Ass? And the meme went...
Quicksilver
that moment where you
friends.
Remember Quicksilver's best friend with Quicksilver.
Yeah, saw that. That was hilarious.
But what I thought the final sequence drawn out a little too long. I thought the opening shot was terrible.
Really?
I thought it was
that
a lot.
That battle sequence?
That opening one in the forest, I thought it was a lot of close-ups, a lot of not showing stuff, a lot of cutaways, a lot of stuff I fucking hate. Pull the fucking camera back. And they did a lot in the end, which I liked, but again, it dragged on a little bit too much. Thor's dream pool. Yes. I would love to see, sure. You know, Thor.
That was a result of the editing room floor.
You know?
That was an editing.
I don't care. I judge the product for what it is.
That was
that felt
to cut out.
That felt such a detraction and pull from the movie, and it just felt like, what the fuck? And that's the problem I have with the, like, if this is going to be the editing style they're going to go with these Marvel Cinematic Universe going forward, a lot of movies are going to have like this, and I'm just thinking, oh, I'm not looking forward to that then. Because they did a relatively good job with the Phase 2 line of movies where they still felt like their own movies, you know, with the exception of the Phase 1 with Iron Man 2 where it was just like, wink, wink, here's S.H.I.E.L.D., wink, wink, here's Black Widow. This was a lot of, wink, wink, Thor's going to die, wink, wink, this, that. I really didn't like Thor, not Thor, who doesn't love Hemsworth, but like, I really didn't like that subplot. I felt like just cut it. That should have been cut entirely. There's no point in having that. Let's see what else I didn't like. The Hulkbuster fight was okay. You know, I wasn't wowed.
I still say Hulk won that fight.
Well, yeah.
Just saying.
Claw was useless. Like, what the f- like? Again, another thing for setup. Like, why was Claw even there? Like, just to set up Black Panther. If you're going to have Black Panther, which they dropped the name, they dropped Wakanda, whatever, however,
Banner. And they dropped that shot of the person in that cave. Remember from, like, a couple of months ago? It was, like, that looked like a female character in, like, that cave shot. Like, well, that shot wasn't in the movie. So I think that's
like
supposed
I said,
to be in the
that one's
cut.
A victim of the editing room.
Floor. Yeah, but either way, you drop Ulysses' Claw, you drop Vibranium, you drop how did Banner pronounce Wakanda? Wakanda.
He said
Wakanda. You drop Wakanda, and you don't even like all you had to do was show the cowl of Black Panther and the eyes, and that would have got you didn't even need the actor, you just needed the cowl and like that he was hunting Claw. But Claw was fucking pointless. There was no point for Claw. You know what was also fucking pointless? Why was Baron von Strucker even in this movie?
I agree.
He got
I got excited. You know, that was the only thing I liked about the opening sequence. Like, oh yeah, it's Baron Wolfgang von Strucker, monocle and all. This guy's owning it. He's owning the cheese. He's doing it. And then Ultron kills him off camera by sliding his throat in prison. Marvel, I'm looking in the eye. Stop fucking killing your villains already. God. Damn it. Even fucking Ultron's dead, technically, even though I don't believe that, considering he's a fucking
guy. He can reboot. What are you talking about?
But it's just like, why introduce... You have him as a pivotal extra scene in Winter Soldier, and then you have him show up at the beginning of Age of Ultron, you know, and then you just kill him off camera? Like, there was I don't even remember why Ultron killed him in the first place. Also, the whole reason why the twins were even pissed at Stark never gets any resolution. They're mad because, obviously, they have legit reasons because they see the missile that says Stark. Okay, that makes sense. But there's never any confrontation. They don't fight him. They fight everybody else but him. And it's like, what was the point of introducing that when you never give us a resolution between that? Again, that could have brought kind of unfortunate, but why introduce us? It just gets dropped when they're on the Avengers. Like, there's no stare down, there's no talking it out, there's no, like, fucking, why couldn't we see Iron Man, why don't we see Iron Man take on Quicksilver or Scarlet Witch? Because they're the ones that he has a gripe with.
You saw a flash of that when Cap and Tony stare each other down, but there wasn't any full on, you know? You saw like a glimpse of what could have been there when they stumbled.
But it's not
upon.
There. The plot line gets
no,
dropped.
No, that's what I'm saying.
The plot line gets dropped.
You see a glimpse of it, and it's not really fully realized, you know?
Yeah, it's just weird. And lastly, dude, I love you, man, but you're a troll. You're that ending, minus what I'm about to say, but like that ending just felt so lackluster. Like, so I guess I'm going to take a break now, right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go find this guy who's having the stones, right? Yeah. Okay. Cool. See you next week. See you next week. And then, you know, you have – and I thought it was cool, you know, to have one – another thing. Why the fuck wasn't Falcon part of that final fight?
Yeah.
Like, it's like you have War Machine. Apparently you can't have two black superheroes on screen at the same time because they're the same people. That's really racist, but fuck it. That's what Marvel seems to be thinking. Like, you know how, like, I was surprised. Like, I'm thinking, holy shit. It's fucking War Machine in this fight. Where's Falcon? Anytime now. Wait. The fight's over? And you're telling me Falcon didn't show him up? Really? You're fucking lying. I stole that joke, by the way. And but like it just felt weird. But lastly, the ending was so anticlimactic, and they didn't say Avengers Assemble in the they didn't say fucking Avengers Assemble in the first movie. So because for some reason, instead of just letting people enjoy something, you know, something that people want to hear, instead of, you know, and again, I thought Tony was gonna say it right. You know, in the battle, you know, he goes, Avengers, and I'm thinking, zit, and he says something else. Like, okay, fine, whatever, you're gonna save something else. So you have Cap under the new Avengers with Vision, War Machine, Black Widow, well,
Falcon.
Scarlet Witch, who has a, I like her new costume. I really like her new costume. I wish she had the tiara, but fuck it, I can live. I really enjoyed her new costume. So you have Cap go Avengers. Credits, and I'm just thinking, why would you do that? Like, I'm not saying like backlash against the guy. I'm like, why? What was the purpose of trolling the people who want to hear that battle cry? You can say people are listening to this. Oh, we can save it for Infinity War. I guarantee you, you're gonna in 4 years when you hear Avengers Assemble, if you heard it here versus hearing it there, you're gonna still have the same jubilation. If anything, I'll be skeptical. I'll be just be skeptical the entire movie. They're not gonna fucking say it at all in the next one, or the next two rather. But I'm just like, why didn't you say it? Lastly, that fucking end credit sequence was the biggest bunch of bullshit I've ever seen in a Marvel movie.
I'll agree with that.
It was just like, and you know, it was more relevant to me, because I'm the only one that matters. I'm just kidding. But because we went, me and my dad and my brothers went to a screening that had both Avengers 1 and Avengers Age of Ultron, and you know, obviously the ending of Age of Ultron that still gets me chills of just we will court death and the smile cut away. Awesome, sets up Thanos. Here, I'll do it myself. Ergo. Basically, the exact same thing of Avengers 1. So really, instead of, I mean, you can again, the stupid Thor subplot aside, nothing. It's like, why even if you're not gonna like show Black Panther, if you're not gonna show something new, what was the point? We all know the gauntlet is not important. It's the st like the gauntlet is the tool for the stones, but that's not the important thing. It's the combination, right? Am I right? I'm right. So it was a lame ass end credit sequence. Literally nothing happened. Like you could have had that fucking scene. I guarantee you Thanos could have had that got like I guarantee you Thanos is probably gonna have his biggest screen time in Guardians of the Galaxy, when that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when that comes out. You could have had him do that there. And it would have had a bigger moment because the movie would be at that point be a year away for Avengers Infinity War. But no, you wasted my time. You fuckers can go. I fucking hated this movie.
Well,
who wants to go next, I guess?
I guess I can.
Yeah, John, you chime in.
I'm going to say this. I don't think it was the worst movie since Iron Man 2 or anything. I actually thoroughly enjoyed the movie. It granted, it did have its, issues. For one, it was, killing off Baron von Strucker was kind of was ridiculous. I was like, although I will say this, it'll probably be revealed that it could be an LMD later. It wouldn't surprise me, knowing how Hydra is. I will say this, I enjoyed the opening sequence with them attacking Hydra, just there, and Strucker was like, yeah, pull out all the weaponry, and the soldiers were like, it's the Avengers. Go ahead and attack them. It's the Avengers. We're shitting ourselves. I thought it was funny. Them getting to where they were finally, the where they had the party. I loved that because we saw everybody from previous films and into here, just relaxing and chilling. And then the whole scene where they're trying to lift the hammer was hilarious. Yes, I know it was mostly in the trailer before, but my Audra, my wife, had a was chuckling so hard when she saw Cap just barely lift the hammer, and you see Thor going, "Oh shit," and she was cracking up. And my kids were just kind of like, yeah, man, well, but bring on the action. Ultron, I'll agree. It was not Ultron personally. It was Ultron as programmed by Tony Stark, and which we have to remember, it was Tony Stark, not Pym, in this one. You know, big difference, yada yada. But it was just like, I was like, even I was going, okay, I'm not the biggest fan of Ultron, but you could have actually had the real Ultron show up, because it didn't feel like that he ever actually did. Granted, it's Marvel Cinematic, blah blah blah. I loved when Wanda was doing the whole mind control shtick on everybody, and she tries to sneak up on Hawkeye, and Hawkeye just goes, "Whop!" Already had the whole thing.
Nope.
With them.
Rejected.
Yep. Yeah, with the mind control thing, ain't happening again. She's just like, "What?" You know, I think that the biggest thing I really liked about this is we actually got Hawkeye's, you know, character development that he should have had in the previous couple of movies. And yeah, when I saw him going to meeting, you know, when we see his family and stuff, I was like, oh, this isn't going to end well. I was just fully expecting either the family getting killed or him getting killed. And I think the Quicksilver dying was probably a big F you to Fox, you know, and just to go, yeah, F you, kind of like how they're doing the F you in the comics, which we'll discuss next week about those two. And now on the editing and stuff, I know that I understand they had to edit a lot of stuff out because, you know, we kind of packed a shit ton in and it was almost a 3-hour film. So they had to cut some down, but the subplot with Thor, while I did kind of felt that it did kind of take away from the movie. Well, I also felt like this was the closest thing to an actual live action comic book plot where, you know, you'll see us, they'll tell the story and then they'll do the prologue, epilogue, or side thing for a couple of, you know, pages that, you know, set up for a different story, you know, kind of like what they used to do, you know, like they do in the comics today. And I appreciated that, although it agreed that it did take time out from the movie itself, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. The whole Wakanda and Claw, I had to explain who Gollum was playing, and and I had a hard time, you know, seeing, okay, yeah, really, whatever. You know, why even bring up Wakanda other than to mention the fact that, hey, we're doing a Black Panther movie a couple of years from now, kiddies. But, you know, even like you said, just show the cowl or, you know, that kind of thing would have been a much better way of doing it. I really can't say much else other than I was glad to see War Machine back and not doing the stupid Iron Patriot crap, because as far as I'm concerned, Iron Man 3 was probably the worst Marvel movie I'd seen since, you know, ever. But that's a whole other story, and I'm not going to get into that. Love seeing Falcon, and I agree, it would have been nice seeing him in the final battle, but, you know, maybe they just had to, you know, they didn't want to show too many brothers because, you know, rule of thumb in some of these movies is usually when you have too many brothers, one of them has to die, and they didn't want to do that. I don't know. I really liked seeing Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver in here, even though Quicksilver really wasn't Quicksilver. And some of the plot points that they did didn't mesh out as well as it could have. I still enjoyed them. The overall film, I will not say that it was the best movie, you know, that I've seen for MCU in ever, because I've seen people going, this is my new Guardians of the Galaxy or my new Winter Soldier. And I'm like, nope, Winter Soldier still eclipses this by a mile.
I'll agree with that. Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that.
But I will say that it was
a way better movie.
It was enjoyable to see Robert Downey Jr. again. You know, you always got to enjoy him as Tony. Just seeing everybody back together, seeing more back, finally giving Jeremy Renner something to do instead of just being mind-controlled or, you know, standing off in the background going, waiting for the shot call, sir. You know, because, you know, wasting Hawkeye like that was one of my main pet peeves over the last few years. So it was nice to see him actually, you know, let them step up and kick ass. Widow and the Hulk was kind of an interesting concept, and despite all that bullshit crap with the feminists that were hollering about with Black Widow's development in the movie, I thought, just get over it. I liked how they set it up. They explained stuff. It was good. Like I said, the movie was a little bit too long. I swear that they were cribbing, I guess Whedon and them decided that, well, we're going to do the plot of Superman Returns, and we can do it better. That's what I was thinking when the whole thing was lifting up. I was like, okay, so you're either doing Superman Returns or you're doing an FU to the Fantastic Four. And I just was like, but overall, I thought the movie was very enjoyable. My kids enjoyed it. That was another key thing that I thought was, you know, good. They loved it. Now, the cop-out at the end with the end credits where it was like, okay, team Avengers, you know, I was like, really? You just had to go, you know, do that. Just let us hear it. It would have been cool, cause especially when you got the new team. Also, one of my favorite moments, when we find out who is actually worthy. Not a human, not another god, but a friggin' android. Or synthesoid, I should say. That scene where Vision hands Thor his hammer. I mean, everybody in the theater was like, what?
That was a great moment. Yeah. That was fantastic.
That was cool.
That was a good movie moment, but that was...
Yeah, it was kind of not a comic. It was not a good comic moment, but for the movie, it was good. And it established that they could trust Vision. And Vision's one of my all-time favorite, you know, Marvel characters. And I didn't like how they kind of did the quick development of him, you know, but it's nice to see that he's there. And he got to take care of Ultron at the end when, you know, Ultron's like, you know, you're being incredibly naive. And Vision was like, well, you do realize I was actually only born yesterday. And I liked that. It might have been cheesy, but I liked it. And the end credit scene, sadly, that's what I was kind of expecting, was just to see Thanos picking up the gauntlet and going, looks like I'm going to have to do this myself, because, you know, all his other attempts to get the stones have failed miserably. So he's going to finally have to say, fuck it, I'm going to do it myself. Which, you know, yes, it was a rehash of Avengers 1, but they did it to remind people that, hey, Big Purple Chin over here is still coming. And I think what I was really disappointed and I was really hoping for was some sort of mid-credit or maybe end of the movie scene where you see some of the Avengers in New York talking and then you see a shadow of somebody swinging by. You know, I would have loved a Spider-Man scene. It didn't have to be major deal, but to show, hey, we got him back. But overall, I enjoyed the movie. It was a bit disappointing in some areas, but sometimes sequels don't always measure up to the first film. And I will say the Hulkbuster fight, Audra really loved the Hulk, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. You know, and I was chuckling at that too, but that was one of her favorite moments. And I was too busy just going, they have Hulkbuster armor. Oh
yeah, you know. I can agree with that.
I was drooling. I was just like, oh, my favorite.
I thought we were doing the bad things. Keep on point, people.
I know. Well, I'm kind of doing both good and bad.
Well, keep it contained, Buster.
Oh, I'll contain it. Hulk. All right. Oh yeah, Hulk himself wasn't as good as, you know, like he was in the first movie, but again, too many expectations. I think high expectations kind of hurt the movie, and I can see where some people are saying it's a big waste of time, and I see other people being positive. I give it a 3.5 out of 5, you know, for my ideal. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Take it, Bri.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not opposed, I'll go next. Yeah,
please, let me close it out.
Let's see. Strucker's untimely death really kind of ticked me off. That was one thing I wasn't that crazy about, because he was a real waste of a character. I mean, knowing where this guy comes from in the comic books, he deserved so much more than that, but I don't know. I'll miss Strucker. I mean, he could have been so much more, and they just...
LMD.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We'll see. let's see. I also did not like the fact that Falcon was excluded from the final fight. That part was kind of disappointing to me, because I'm like, you know, you had both of them for the movie. Why didn't you just get him to do, like, another day of filming or something? It wouldn't have been that hard. Let's see. I'm not really sure if this is a con, because I've been thinking about it over and over again. Nick Fury's inclusion in the movie I found somewhat questionable, mostly because he didn't really do anything. I mean,
you really didn't think that he would show up?
I knew he was going
to show up. Like when he was talking to the girlfriend?
I knew he was going to show up because I saw him in the trailer, but it's just, I knew he was going to show up. I didn't think he would do so little. I mean, he comes in with basically like a smile and a dream, kids. You can go and you can beat him. You know, he gives them like the pep talk or something, you know. His character regressed from the leader of this badass clandestine organization to the cardboard cutout archetype magical Negro. That was who Nick Fury became in this movie. He's sort of like, you know.
So he's Uncle Remus.
I was going to say he's Will Smith and Bagger Vance, but I guess that works.
Yeah, he's just a new version of Uncle Remus.
Yeah, right? Nah. Jeez, what else? I felt a little bit that RDJ might have been phoning it in just a little bit. It kind of felt that way coming off his performance, but I couldn't really gauge that well. The relationship between Bruce and Natasha.
Bow, wow.
Where did that come from? I'm confused. I don't recall that having any prior setup. And
if I might,
yes.
Damaged Soul meets Damaged Soul.
That's
two
fair.
People with a lot of baggage.
That's
trying to keep themselves, especially in Banner's position, trying to keep himself, you know, functional, but you see that he's closed off. And her, because of the whole, you know, I'm barren, you know, and yeah, I've got a lot of red in my ledger, you know, that whole thing. And plus, when he gets big, is that big all over? Oh, yeah.
Not? Moving on from that point, but yeah, felt rushed. I felt out of nowhere. I didn't exactly buy it, and when it was – when they didn't get together at the end of the movie, first of all, I had to hide my shock. I'm like, oh no, how could anyone have not seen that coming? And second of all, I just don't think it was a viable relationship thing. The twins, Pietro and Wanda. I think Pietro dying was unfortunate. I would have liked to see him in any sort of future thing. But, you know, death is malleable in Marvel Comics and Marvel Universes and whatnot. I don't believe it was real. He'll stay dead.
We haven't seen anybody come back from it.
That's very true. Yeah. Removing all possibility of that, because I'm not entirely sure it will happen. Pietro dying makes me sad because, and this kind of ties in with what I didn't like about Wanda, is that their characters weren't as developed as they should have been, I felt. There was definitely room for improvement there. And whereas Wanda will get that improvement in future stories to tell, in future movies, Pietro will not get that chance to improve simply because he made the sacrifice play in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, so. He did the Flash thing.
He did the Flash thing. Only he didn't save multiple universes. He just saved a farm boy. Unfortunately,
hey, farm boy. He saved the world to that mother.
Yeah, I guess so.
There you go.
And he saved Hawkeye's plot.
Happy Mother's Day!
Yay!
So he saved two men. You know.
Hey, and for lack of a pun, nobody saw that coming. So you know.
Oh.
Yeah. No, but really, there were gasps in the audience when I saw it.
You didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Really. No kidding. Okay. Ultron. The giant killer cyborg in the room. Let's talk about that. I did not hate him. I had got it in my head about a week after I saw it, when we were first going to talk about it last week, where I sort of had it in my head rationalized to the point where I don't know much about artificial intelligence in fiction other than, you know, the basic plot points of artificial intelligence goes sentient. It turns out humanity, we're all dead. That's basically what I know about artificial intelligence in terms of fiction.
Terminator.
Dun, 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 dun.
Really?
Ding, ding.
John Connor is the Terminator. Spoiler.
Dun, dun.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
That being there, I sort of tried to rationalize Ultron's as I said, more casual approach towards life, because the Ultron that we all know is very much Color by the Numbers, Killer Cyborg, Story Worlds, that whole thing.
Yes.
And this one, he's kind of like if Tony Stark kind of just lost all ambition, pretty much like Axis Tony Stark, kind of. He's the inverted Tony Stark, where he's like, but he's also got that typical AI approach to, let's just wipe the slate clean, kill everybody, and start over. So, but that being said, when Vision later makes the joke about being born yesterday, it reminded me that Ultron, in fact, was born only a few days before that. Ultron hadn't been alive very long, and so I sort of got in my head that he was sort of like, he was immature, and I feel like if we had seen more of him, he would have matured. And I know that's kind of a silly thing to say, and it doesn't excuse the characterization of him, but that's how I sort of rationalize it. That being said, he was not Ultron from the comics. Let's just get that out of the way right now. He was not Ultron from the comics. He was not in any way, shape, or form himself from the comics. I mean, but that's the thing. Ultron in the comics got that way over years of iterations, years and years and years of leaving the Earth, coming back, scanning technology, coming back, this, that, and eventually we get Ultron as we know him today. So where I know kind of why he was less
homicidal?
I guess that's the way to put it. Although, wanting to kill the entire world is pretty homicidal. I mean,
true, but, you know, he wasn't the ranting, screaming
that's true.
Homicidal.
I mean, he paid Claw. When does Ultron pay anybody anything? That's not what Ultron does, but he did it to placate him. And again, you could see sort of there that Tony Stark sort of underwire, the wiring of the character. And you can understand why, because it's based on the brain patterns of Tony Stark, I guess, or something. I don't know. I mean, but again, his characterization was weaker than his comic book counterpart. And I guess as a result of that, sort of made it feel like lesser stakes, because he's not this all-encompassing deadly, you know, force. He's sort of like, he really is just a homicidal robot. I mean, that's all he kind of was. He didn't have that gravitas about him, that thing that made you really say, oh, shit. You know, that wasn't really...
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah.
There wasn't that oh, shit factor, you know?
There was no eyes widening kind of, you know, because he was there.
The most you got out of him was him just randomly dismembering Claw. And for what you will say about the sort of mid-credit scene, you can bank that when Thanos shows up, he's going to be that all-encompassing gravitas, you know, skull-crushing force. At least we hope he will be. If they don't do him that way, they're not doing the character justice, let me just say. So Ultron, you know, sort of didn't have that sort of, you know, he didn't have that air about him that meant, like, this guy could kill you with a blink and not give a damn because you're just a filthy human, you know? He was much more of, like, a human approach towards things. And I don't know if they'll bring him back or if future iterations will sort of remove that and sort of make him more of, like, his comic book counterpart. I know he deserves it, but we'll see. Time will tell. And that being said, my last thing is sort of the plan of Ultron, I guess, his end game. And now, look, I like to think of myself as a guy who can sit through a movie. I know a couple of my siblings can't really do it. They can't sit through an entire movie by themselves and just watch. I can. So for me to not really pick up on something as it's playing out to me either tells me one thing. One, it's that there's a pacing problem. Now, it could be that, like we said, there were some things in this movie that were victims of the editing room floor. Thor's spirit pool, for example, wound up on the editing room floor and, you know, got cut or what have you. But for whatever reason, the whole Ultron's master plan thing, I didn't pick up on the finer points of until it was about to be set in motion. And I don't know if that was intentional, if it was laying it out for us, but I don't know. The way it came off and the way they laid it out, I felt like I missed something when they were talking, when he was sort of putting his plan into motion. And I'm not sure if that was an editing room thing or if it was a pacing problem or any number of things. It felt like at the end where Ultron was putting his plan together, it kind of felt like it was jumping around, just, you know, it felt like random segues into things that are veering off course from his master plan. But I don't know. Now that I say it aloud, it kind of sounds a bit unfounded. So maybe I'm just crazy. But yeah, they just sort of felt like it was coming off as kind of jumpy and kind of not that well strung together. At least Ultron's Master Plan wasn't. But that'll kind of cap off what I didn't like about it, you know. And that'll just cap off. I'm not gonna get into that right now. So yeah, that's what I didn't like about Age of Ultron. So.
Okay. Dun dun dun! It's my turn. I like the movie. You know, it wasn't the greatest Marvel movie ever. It's I'll say it's in the mid tier. It's still better than Iron Man 3. It's maybe on par with Iron Man 2, which puts it underneath Cap 1, definitely. So I'll say this movie might be maybe number 12 on my list or so, because as much as I've enjoyed a lot of the stuff that's come out, Blade is still number one. I don't care what anybody says. Blade 1 and then Blade 2.
But it's not even in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Shut the fuck up. It's a Blade. It's a Marvel character.
It will be now.
But anyway, and then probably Winter Soldier. I think he might be number three, and then Avengers. But either way,
a tight movie.
Yes, it very much was. But anyway, like I said, I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the action sequences, which is what I was there for, because I was there to see the Avengers do stuff, you know. And talking is for bullshit. So, you know, all of the emote and everything else like that can go hang. I wanted to see people get beat up and wear costumes and do things. And I was suitably satisfied with what I got, you know.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that character-wise, I had some issues, notably Ultron. I agree wholeheartedly with Bri in that this was definitely not the Ultron from the comic. And I knew we weren't going to get him because, you know, his genesis is different. Mm-hmm. And the person that he's the dark part of, or at least the one who he's showing the negative aspects of, is a completely different person. That being said, I liked when he first showed up and then just started attacking the Avengers with all the broken rescue bot whatevers, you know. And his monologue as he's standing there in that damaged bot was well done. But then everything else after that, he basically plays, well, I'm trying to be, I'm trying to be romantic and charming, and I'm trying to get you to do what I want you to do, even though I'm really going to kill everything that you love, including you, but I don't want you to know about that. He comes off as, you know, basically wanting you to get in bed with him while he does his stuff and doesn't want you to know about it until he's ready to tell you. Yeah, so basically he's playing James Spader. You know, they didn't let they made him, he became James Spader in metal skin. And on top of which, I'm saying it, and I know people won't care, but it was the Transformers problem. He had a face that moved. You know, he would have been a whole lot scarier if his mouth would have been fixed like it is in the comic. I mean, that was the point of Ultron. He's not human. And he doesn't care about us. He wants to kill us. So, you know, there's nothing that's more terrifying than something that is completely different than us. And this is the face that we have to deal with embodying that. But, you know, he had a face with a mouth and eyes and, you know, moved around. And, you know, he was charming because he was based on Stark. I didn't like that. You know, again, that's a fanboy thing, but, you know, fuck it. That was one of the things that kind of put me off on top of the whole, you know, what his characterization ended up as. Case in point, when Wanda and Quicksilver find out, and she's like, oh, my God, what have we done? What's we going to do? And he's trying to go, no. Well, yes, but no.
Wait, guys, wait.
Exactly.
He literally says that. Wait, guys.
And I sat there like, right there, it breaks for me. You know?
When Clock points out that he uses the same line Tony used once upon a time. He's like, I don't even know what are you saying that for? Why are you doing? And he just flips out and just rips his arm up like he's having an emotional breakdown. It's like he's an AI, guys. He's Ultron. Come on now, Jesus.
Yeah,
it's
but
Star-tron.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. It is Star Trek.
And to go with the twins and their resolution to their beef with Stark, yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, not that I think it doesn't matter, but it just didn't matter within the scheme of things because, you know, Ultron was the big focus, so Ultron does stuff and it shouldn't have been introduced in the first place. They needed to be introduced as to having a reason to hate Stark and therefore the Avengers.
No, they didn't because they did. There was no point. There was literally no point for them to hate anything. They could have easily said that Strucker conditioned them to hate the Avengers. That's all it could have been. But no, they went with this lame ass story. We're gonna hate Stark and we're not gonna give you conflict resolution. Cause fuck you, Whedon.
They're not even Inhumans, which I found off-putting. They didn't even go for the obvious.
No, they're enhanced humans.
Yes. And on that note, how did Strucker do what he did using the scepter? How?
Magic.
There was no bit of dialogue explaining or giving credence to that, you know, he did what he did using the scepter, except you know that he did what he did using the scepter. So this should have been, like, information showing all of that. I'll give them credit when, when Stark shows up and he's got Strucker and he's talking about how he's a shill for Hydra. And he's like, no, I'm really a shill for S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, because in this, he was the next S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. There was a comic that got put out, like, what was it, a couple of months ago that actually shows this backstory. And I was... okay, well, you know what? That makes sense. You know, so I'm kind of willing to let it go. But I agree that them getting rid of Strucker was wrong. And in regards to the scepter, if the scepter had the thing that Thanos wanted, then why did Thanos give the scepter with the thing to Loki?
I can answer that question. I can answer.
Please do.
Are you ready? Because Thanos is a fucking dumbass.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not a dumbass. He's just
insane. It's raisin chin. Come on.
But, did anybody stop and consider that? You know, I mean, what was the point? He had the thing. And
maybe Thanos didn't know. You know.
Really?
He was looking for them. I think he wouldn't have known.
Well,
and I sat here and
he probably thought Loki was gonna win. You know, that's the only thing I can just.
So he would take it back then.
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah, he probably would have just snapped Loki's neck or something.
No,
which,
no.
At this point, I'm begging for them to do that.
Hold on, Betty, he could have sent in fucking Gamora or somebody.
Look what happened when he did send Gamora. Shit went bad.
That's because. You know, Peter Quill and everybody else got involved, but, you know, and anyway.
Dance, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Literally.
But no, I just think that's like, that is a ridiculous corner that they backed themselves into plot-wise when you stop and think about it, on top of also showing the gauntlet in the first Thor movie and then, oh, no, Thanos is actually looking for the gems because we saw the gems on the gauntlet in Thor 1. But anyway, I love the Hulkbuster Hulk fight. I love that fight. But I will say that the reasons for them going to Wakanda to go to the ship where Claw was and then
was
having
that Wakanda?
Fight, yeah.
It was Wakanda.
I thought that
yeah.
was just some random African town. I didn't know that was
No,
just...
that was he was docked at Wakanda.
Wow.
No, he wasn't.
He was docked at Wakanda.
No, they say that he got branded in Wakanda and that he stole from Wakanda, but if he had stayed in Wakanda, he would have been killed because he was branded in
okay,
Wakanda.
So, well, I put it this way. They pointed so many fingers at Wakanda that when they showed him at the ship and the ship was docked somewhere near South African,
maybe somewhere in the Mediterranean on the African side.
Well, for that matter, Wakanda is in the middle of the fucking continent. I don't think there's a port.
Right.
So, you know, but
Marvel Cinematic.
Yeah, true enough. It's like Metropolis in Smallville, even though
it's in Kansas
with the port. But I digress. The fight scene there was actually really, really good, and I giggled like a kid.
Dude, that fire! Oh god, it was awesome.
And I loved when Hulk would just tear a piece off, and he would call down another piece, because that is shit that we saw. Well, not exactly, but him having floating, flying backups is shit that Ultimate Iron Man did. You know what I'm saying? I love that. That's such a Tony thing. I love that. He still got his fucking armor wrecked. And as far as I'm concerned, if you can't hang with a one-on-one battle where you have to throw somebody at a thing to get them away from you because you're losing your shit, and the building falls on them, and they still get up, and you finish the fight with a sucker punch because the person that you're after is now upset over the shit that he done did. Yeah, I still give that win to the Hulk, but I can understand people not doing so. Either way.
My wife's favorite line was, "Oh, I'm gonna have to own that building now."
And to that end, go to sleep. Hold on, wait. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I love that whole sequence. That whole sequence was just really well done.
I love that he named the fucking thing Veronica. That was
a funny thing. Well, hell, he named the second AI fucking Friday.
Uh-huh.
That was
which, by the way, Friday. There was a Jocasta disc in there. He had
there was.
One labeled Jocasta.
Oh shit, I missed
okay,
that.
Okay, I missed that, but I kind of thought that would have been the thing to do, but you know they didn't do that. But well, that's good then. I could be happy with that. I will say,
why didn't he name it Pepper?
Nah, that would have been too much.
Too obvious.
Yeah, that would have been way too much.
He's awesome. Whatever.
But what was it? Black Widow and Hulk. Interesting relationship formation, or attempt at a formation. Not one that I would have had a problem with. But what happened to Betty?
Veronica,
he still loves Betty.
She died.
No, she's not dead.
She died.
You know? And
live Tyler back. That's...
Well, yeah, but that just means that they couldn't get the actress, but that doesn't mean the character's gone. And this is that Hulk. So I don't think that, you know, and isn't William Hurt supposed to be in a future Marvel movie? So, you
we'll
know,
talk about that, Nick. We'll talk about that.
Fair enough.
We don't know.
Yeah, okay. But either way, I would have liked that relationship to have actually worked, because I saw where her attraction to him was coming from, and I see why he would respond, because that Bruce Banner is somebody that could really use somebody who kind of understands. You know what I mean? Yeah. I totally bought that. Captain America, nothing big happened with Cap here.
Language.
But,
language. Yeah.
That was played funny. Over to fucking... Okay.
No,
actually,
I liked it. I liked how much they played with it. I did. I very much did.
You, okay.
But I will say, I will say, hold on, let me get it out.
Go for it.
When, after the fight in Africa, wherever the hell it was, when they go home, when they go to Hawkeye's home, they're acting like somebody died. All right? And it was more like, we really got hit hard. We got pounded. And all that happened was... four or five of them got, you know, hallucinations, and, you know, Hulk went nuts. But they act like somebody caught a bullet. So that was a bit false to me, because while I understand having your mind not be your own, I can, not that this ever happened to me, but I can kind of sympathize, and I think I can actually figure that having your mind being, your control being taken away from you, yeah, I can see how that would really, really, you know, get you. You know, how that would really fuck with you. But the level to which everybody else, except for Hulk, felt that felt false. You know? Now, yeah, granted, you know, Hulk and Iron Man going about a fight and, you know, he, you know, building drops and
God,
people were scared and everything
so
else like that.
Fucking magical, though.
I understand political damage would come from that, and I understand Banner being upset, but everything else was just like, really? Oh,
I thought they were going to do the rehash of Ultimates, the Ultimates 2, where Banner's going to be wanted for trial. Where, like, because they.
Oh,
like,
good point. Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
But he runs away like a bitch.
Thor?
I wouldn't call the Hulk a bitch because he could kill me with one flick.
The Thor thing, it that seemed to me like they needed a reason to get rid of Thor for a while. You know?
And to show off his sexy abs.
And they just. And where it falls apart is they just showed the same thing that he saw when he was being afflicted by Scarlet Witch. They didn't show the thing that he needed to see to make him come back and then do what he did.
Heimdall's crazy for some fucking reason.
You know? And
was
that,
was like, that was Elba, right?
Yeah, that was Idris Elba.
I couldn't tell.
They came up with cameos. You know, Idris Elba, what's the name?
Maggie Carter was there.
Right? And they didn't have Pepper in this because...
No Betty Ross. They could have easily got Liv Tyler back.
No, they didn't.
I don't think she's doing much. No offense.
Gosh.
You know, for that matter, I don't think we saw one for Banner, did we?
No, we didn't. No, because
Banner went psycho and killed everybody.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Which again,
he didn't kill anybody. He just
in his nightmare. That probably was his nightmare thing. Everybody just killed everybody.
Right. Yeah. Fair point.
That fight was fucking magical, though. I sat forward like a child with my head on my hands, and I'm just sitting forward. And I'm like, oh wow, they dropped a building on it. Wow.
Well, you can't have a superhero fight, so that's a thing that just has to happen. Fury showing up, I knew Fury was going to show up. Not because I saw him in the trailer, but because, well, you knew Fury had to show up. You just knew it. And when
he got his eye patch back, though.
Of course he did. But when what's his name was talking to his girlfriend, Fury. That just seemed so duh. You know, that I was surprised that, you know, nobody could figure that out.
Wait, who was what?
Hawkeye was talking to his girlfriend.
That was Fury. No, that was Fury.
Huh?
Why would he call her the girlfriend?
True.
Because
they don't, sure? Yeah, true.
Okay, fair enough. I assumed it was his wife and he was just joking around, but I guess that...
That doesn't sound right, you know?
Well, what's he going to say? Hey, who was that? Oh, it's my secret wife. I'm hiding from you. Wait,
no,
what?
Right. But if he was going to say, oh, well, if it was a wife, I don't think he'd say the girlfriend because that would still imply, oh, well, he has somebody in his life. But no, if he really didn't want them to know that he was talking to Fury, you would say something like that. If it was the wife, you would say nobody important or you would toss out something else entirely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was the wife, you wouldn't say the girlfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it was Fury, you would say the girlfriend. But anyway, Fury showing up with the helicarrier, you needed that. Why? Because the Avengers apparently couldn't figure out that, hey, if I stop this machine from moving, then it'll fall back down and then, you know, everything's already finished. We're good to go. No, the Avengers went, oh, no, we have to fight the robots and we're already like 15 miles up in the air and we don't know what to do. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's made out of vibranium. But if I put Mjolnir right here, then the whole machine stops working. It was a machine. It was a construct. Everything has to move for it to work. I won't say it was a clockwork device, but it was a machine with moving parts. You put a monkey wrench in it. It's not moving anymore. You know, there's no problem there, but
he wanted to cast Meteor so bad. That's all.
Yeah. This is a Final Fantasy.
I guarantee that's where he got the fucking idea. He probably saw like a Let's Play of it somewhere. Like, that looks cool.
Speaking of Thor, Captain America fought Ultron for what? 15 fucking minutes. Thor dives at Ultron. Ultron grabs him by his neck.
Yeah.
And that's the sum total of their fight. How embarrassing is that for whoever wrote that? Because that's just... While I understand the need to show Ultron as tough and whatever. Still, come on. Come on.
If I may interject for the briefest of moments.
Please.
It reminded me of the Distinguished Competition's first iteration of the Justice League cartoon, where Superman would get indisposed in every single battle and just kind of go away. And because they didn't know how to write Superman without him just cleaning everything up in 10 seconds. And so it's like, okay, how do we get rid of this guy so everyone else can have something to do?
Yeah.
What do we do? I got it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
But that's how they got rid of him. Yeah. This is him being there. If you want to go with that, then that means that they just made Ultron act stupid when he fought Captain America.
Probably. He is a child.
I'm sorry. Oh, no, it's not better. That's just ridiculous.
I agree.
I looked at and I was watching that fight, and I'm, wait a minute, is that it? And him waiting for Vision to,
did Vision phase? Did I see that correctly? I don't remember seeing.
Yes, he did.
I remember seeing a yellow, like it was. It was like, if I remember correctly, it was in the final climaxes of the battle, and like it's very cluster, so because of Porsche,
it's during that whole big spin, and let's watch everybody do something.
No, they were in the air. They were in the air. I remember him being in the air.
Mm. Okay, I honestly don't remember it, but. And nice big battle scene at the end. I thought them having the mother not being able to go get the son who was about 30 feet away was bullshit. Okay? The extra death flag.
Lady, you're not at Walmart. Go get your kid.
You know, exactly. If Hawkeye having to go out there to go get the kid. Yeah, okay. Super ultra important death flag, which got switched over to kill off Quicksilver.
Bro, why you dead, bro?
Death flag, you know? That was just retarded, you know? I mean, if he was lost somewhere deep within, and, yeah, Hawkeye ran back through the middle of the town to go get him, and, you know, he's running back, and then Ultron's coming with the strafing run, and Quicksilver, zoom, and gets caught. Yeah, I buy that, but fucking 50 feet away? Fuck you. You know, really, suck my dick.
I thought he bit the bullet when the army shot at him, and he just looks at him like, really, you fucking shot me? I thought he bit the bull. Like, oh shit, they killed. Oh no, he's fine.
And for that matter, I liked what Ultron told Scarlet Witch when she was freaking out during the fight, and he said, "Look at this. Look at everything that's happened. Look at all the people out there with powers. I have a bow and arrow."
He is a self-aware guy, you know.
Yeah,
he broke the fourth wall.
I loved it. You know, that was one of those.
We're on a floating island, really good fighting robots.
Yeah,
and I have bow and arrow.
This movie was like Hawkeye, Age of Hawkeye. It was like, let's see how much Hawkeye can happen in this one.
Well, he deserved it, considering he had nothing to do the last time.
Oh, shit. The thing with him and Quicksilver, where Quicksilver was like, "Keep up, old man," and zips away. He's like, just pulls his arrow. He's like, "Nobody would know. Nobody would know."
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did they make Black Widow an administrator?
I don't believe so.
For what,
No. Well, yeah, because when they were in Avengers-based Alpha?
Yeah.
In Westchester, New York?
Yeah. The Avengers School for Gifted Youngsters?
They specifically chose Westchester. They fucking knew what they were doing.
Not only did they offer base over...
But stop and consider when she's standing in that empty floor just staring at things.
Yeah, her and Cap are probably like head ministers now, whatever.
That's what it sounded like.
Nick Fury's the head administrator, Maria Hill.
Well, he might be the head administrator, but I think she's supposed to be the head for that base while Cap is squad leader. You know,
Cap is
squad leader. Yeah. You know, and head trainer for
freaking,
Avengers.
Okay. If we want to go with military rankings, then freaking Black Widow is lieutenant commander. There you go.
Okay, LT? Actually, yeah, that sounds right.
She's LT.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. You know,
and we are, and I could always love my LTs in leather.
And
Ashley.
Did Hawkeye quit?
Yeah, he's off living the fancy life now, farm boy life.
He'll be back. He'll fucking be
with
back.
With Nathaniel Pietro Barton.
See, what I would have done is I'd have had him take the leave of absence. You know?
Well, he's coming back for fucking Civil War.
Well, we know that. We know that he'll be back. But what I'm saying is, within the context of the movie we saw, he quit. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't a. Well, I'm home on vacation, or I'm going to be here for a while. Yeah, that was a I'm done. You know?
He'll be back.
So I thought that was.
Well, Tony said he was done too. Like Tony.
And thank you for saying his name. While I understand why Tony was trying to build something like Ultron, totally understand it. Tony never apologized for that whole thing fucking up. Never apologized.
Yeah, while, he said he'd do it again.
Yeah, he technically his
setting
AI
the seeds for Civil War.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's
the
what that was.
With fucking Hulk and Iron Man was setting the seed for Civil War.
No, that argument that Tony and Steve had outside while chopping wood.
Whole movie was a setup for secret that fucking Civil War or whatever. Jeez.
Well, that in Infinity War. So you know.
That's very true.
The setup for every Marvel movie for the next 4 years. That's what this movie was.
But my thing is this: while I accept that Ultron wasn't necessarily Tony's fault, because I don't think anybody would have predicted that the pseudo-intelligence that they detected within the gem
would have been
or the thing
maniac.
That contained it. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't think anybody would have figured that out. You know, I can let that slide. But still in all, his reaction to finding out that stuff went bad was like, oh, well, oops, sorry. Well, not even sorry, just oops.
That's you know? Tony.
That's not Tony. That's not the guy that we've seen for like the last, what, 5 movies? That guy would have apologized. Stop and think. He's not that kind of a dick. You know?
Is he though?
He's a dick when he no.
He's a dick when he's not an asshole.
Exactly.
He's gonna become an asshole in Civil War.
Stop it.
He's going to be the villain.
Stop it.
I just thought that was a bit of demonization that they didn't need to do for him.
Because
you know?
For Civil War, he's going to be a fucking evil dude. That's what they did in the fucking comic. They made Tony a de facto bad guy.
But that was a guy who knew what he was doing.
Did he, though?
Yes,
he fucking
did.
Had super
stated
villains. He had super villains on his team. He didn't know what he was doing.
Yes, he did. He said it as such. See, and that's my point.
He's still evil.
Here. Okay.
Okay.
Tony did not mean for that to happen,
but he did it again anyways. So evil. Oops, Tony is evil. Tony evil confirmed. It's not even Tony Stark. It's Arnold Stark.
Yes,
didn't
Half-Life
realize
3
it.
Confirmed. Anyway. Well, either way, like I said, I just Strucker getting killed off was just a waste of a character. I think that was just.
Why do they keep doing that?
Yeah.
Like, there's no like it.
And yes, the lead in for that. From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a joke, you know. The only way you found out that the thing.
Yeah.
That,
no shit. No
yeah.
Coulson
that.
In this one? Are you fucking kidding me?
Nah, because they can't have the television properties. They can't have them.
Last week's AOS, you find out that you know the Triton, whatever the fuck was the
Theta Protocol, the thing that Coulson has been working on, and they've been leading up to for episodes and episodes,
and
building the fucking helicarrier for Fury.
Wait a minute. They only dropped the Theta Protocol thing like the last two before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's why I didn't say weeks and weeks. Well,
okay, right. You're right. So, yeah, they kind of just stuck that in there and then kind of went, hey, fuck you.
Yeah, but Gonzalez.
He gone.
Oh, I have no reason to watch Agents
of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Dude, there was better tying with fucking Winter Soldier than there was with
way
Agent
better
Ultron.
Time with Winter Soldier.
All right, well, okay,
So,
I like
the movie. I still give it a 4.3. It's not in my top 10, but it's definitely something I would say go see it and maybe go see it again because it was a fun movie. It just, you know, had a lot more issues than the first one. A lot more issues.
I like Scarlet Witch. I'm going to close it off with my good pump.
Well, I got to close up.
Wait. Hold on. One last one. They went to Sokovia to stop Strucker and Hydra from doing whatever the fuck it was with all of that purloined Chitauri stuff, right?
Yeah.
So at the end of the movie, they have to go back to Sokovia to stop Ultron from going back to that old base and building the vibranium whatever the fuck thing. in the Hydra base that still has the Chitauri stuff. That stuff was still there.
Baron Strucker. I mean, not Baron Strucker. Baron Zemo.
Where was Hydra? I mean, where was S.H.I.E.L.D.? S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, they should have confiscated all that shit.
They probably confiscated it off camera.
No, they didn't. It was still there. When they went back to the base to go fight and
At this point, it's probably destroyed now, so, or whatever. It's probably all gone. Rubble. It's probably rumble underneath that castle. That castle probably got wrecked.
Still stupid.
I like Scarlet Witch. I really like Scarlet
Witch. If you
want to
close out with your likes, can I just go real quick?
Yeah, hold on. I never said I wasn't going to include you.
I thought you said you were going to close out with your likes.
Boss Man is speaking.
Damn.
I really like Scarlet Witch. I you know, granted, I like, even though I was ultimately think it was ballsless to cut to kill off Quicksilver, I did enjoy the fact that basically they have laid the foundation for her psychotic fucking breakdowns. You know, and that how she can just basically cut loose. I did like seeing her on screen. I did like the fact that they actually gave her, because even in comics, they don't write her with like a European, Eastern European accent. And I really like that they.
Yeah, that's true.
I really like they granted, you know, the accents weren't perfect, but fuck it, they were at least they were better than fucking they were better than Michael Fosbett at the end of X-Men First Class. trust me. You'll find all about that in the next RPG commentaries of X-Men First Class. But I really enjoyed the camaraderie, the dynamic between the two. Scarlet Witch to me was like a lot of good things about this movie. Wish she had more screen time. Liked her costume at the end. I didn't like all the banter stuff. I really liked the banter stuff at the party. Namely between Thor and Iron Man arguing. Who has better girlfriends? I thought that was funny.
Jane's better.
You realize that there was a lot of veterans at that party.
Yeah.
A lot of old men were at that party. Those are all Steve's friends.
Yeah.
That's an Ultimates joke, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah, good point.
There's so much Age of Ultron just left me with so much disappointment. There were some good things about it, but it's just like, God, I don't want to have the same feeling with Apocalypse this time next year. But we'll see.
You know you're going to, right?
I hope not. I was not expecting a 1-to-1 for Ultron. I was never expecting that. But the fact that I got this fucking non-homicidal, snarky sort of jackass is not what I wanted. If I get an Apocalypse who at least says, you know, not just simply says, but just like the strong will survive and you get the basis of who he is, I'll be happy. I'm not expecting the big blue Hulk with the wires. I'm not expecting that. I'm not definitely not expecting Celestials. They can't use Celestials. I am expecting, you know, the strong will survive and shit, the core of the character, and telekinetic psychic powers instead of metamorphing, changing powers. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. Brian, close us out with your positive thoughts.
Hawkeye! Oh, so much Hawkeye. Everything was Hawkeye in this one. Hawkeye, Age of Hawkeye. Coming up soon will be Hawkeye, Civil Hawkeye, or whatever the fuck they call it. I loved Hawkeye, in case you missed that part. I loved the expanding of his character they did for this one. I just am so glad they didn't kill him off. I would have been so much more disappointed if he died, because man's got a family. And ironically enough, I found out the actresses that he's married to played Velma in the Scooby-Doo live-action movies.
Linda Cardellini, you know, Cardellini. I was like, holy, thank you, Cardellini, from ER and Good Burger. She was a Good Burger.
She was in Good Burger?
Remember when, what's his name? I think it's Ed goes to the mental institution.
She was the crazy chick?
Yes, that was
she got hot. She got hot. Holy crap.
Linda Cardellini was
hell yeah. Sick.
And when I was sitting here looking at this movie, why do I know this lady? Uh-huh. Why do I know this lady? And I couldn't. I forgot to look for her name in the credits. You know, when everything was scrolling through. When I got home, I looked it up. And oh my God, it was her!
And I thought it was hilarious too, because as I mentioned earlier, the fangirls, even though they don't count, There's been so much. They're so upset because they wanted Hawkeye and Black Widow to be together and stuff. And I'm like, did you not read Ultimates? And of course they didn't, because why would they? But, you know, Hawkeye had a family who wasn't super heroic in that one. He had a wife and children in the Ultimates. You know, that was pretty straightforward. So I wasn't as surprised when it was revealed, but I was still surprised they went there, because I'm like, oh shit, they actually have a family in this one, okay? Of course, like I mentioned, the Hulk and Hulkbuster fight was just so magical for me. I sat there just enthralled by it. It was fantastic. It was great. My only regret is that it didn't go on for longer. That's my only regret. So good. I just want to say the amount of shine that Mjolnir got in this movie by itself should have warranted getting like a credit or something. The whole thing with them trying to lift it, and then Vision wielding it, and Thor using it to bring Vision to life. And the thing with Quicksilver, where he's moving at super speed, and he sees it, and he tries to grab it, and he gets dragged away, hilarious. Yeah. I laughed my ass off at that, because I'm like, oh, God, that was funny. What else? The language bit I thought was hilarious, but I did admit it got a little bit overplayed at the end, but I thought it did okay. Dr. Helen Cho, she was fine to look at. God,
yes. Yes.
Also, yes. I love that they had her tapped with the mind gem. I thought that was a good touch, because then hopefully maybe someday we'll see her give birth to Amadeus, and that happens, but that's neither here nor there.
That would be funny, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
That would
Why
be
are you so
funny?
Smart? Well, it's a funny story. One day my mom got tapped by the Mayan Infinity Stone, and here I am. Uh-huh. That was cool. I also enjoyed the fact that on the helicarrier, the engineer that Fury's talking to is the same dude from Winter Soldier, who's being threatened by Rumlo the entire time, and he's between Sharon Carter and Rumlow. It's the same guy from Winter Soldier who refused to give it to Rumlow. Yeah, it's the same dude. I had to look up that one, but that one was when I saw it. I'm like,
that's
oh,
not
yeah.
bad. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Same dude that stood up to Rumlow in Winter Soldier. So I thought that was a nice touch.
Hmm.
That being said, I enjoyed Maria Hill when she was on screen. The Civil War lead-ins were obvious. If like obvious is obvious, you know? What else? I liked Rhodey's inclusion in this. And it makes me just yearn for Falcon ever being included. But Rhodey was very good, I thought, in his expansion of his role. Hmm. And Paul Bettany as Vision really nailed it for me. I thought he did a fantastic job.
Space Jesus.
I was a little put off by how despondent he or not despondent distant he was from Tony Stark, because exactly. You figure he's based off of Jarvis. So you'd think he would have at least some camaraderie with Stark. But
he also has the... I have a theory about that, if you don't mind me cutting in.
No, by all means, go ahead.
This is a thing I really did... And this is not said in the movie, but this is just me filling in the blanks. Like, Vision, obviously, like, he's having that conversation with Ultron at the end about, like, yeah, they're going to die, but I'll fight with them anyways, you know? And obviously he's talking about Thanos' upcoming invasion, whenever that's going to happen. Yeah. And so I kind of thought that... that he was, they were kind of combining a little bit of the ultimate version of Vision, where in that universe he's the Herald of Galactus. Obviously, there's no Galactus, but like he's kind of like
Galactus.
He knows what's to come.
He's the Herald of. He's not the Herald of Thanos, but he knows. Yeah, exactly. He knows what's to come. He's the Herald. He's the Herald of Thanos. Fuck it.
He's the Warner.
He's warning people.
He's
the Harbinger of Doom. And I really enjoyed that. And I think that's probably why, because he's not just the Jarvis AI anymore. He's a Jarvis AI infused with an Infinity Stone. So it's a combination of all that wisdom and all that mess. So I think that's why. And I actually like that. I like that he's the Herald of Doom.
Hold on. He's Jarvis mixed with the anima that is Ultron, because remember Ultron was trying to put himself in that body.
Yeah.
But I think the id, maybe the super ego of Jarvis is what was forming the basis of that mentality, that mm-hmm. personality that was there. But when you stop and look at how he comes out, he doesn't look like he really recognizes anything. He accepts some of what's being told and what's going on, and he speaks about stuff that, quite frankly, he really doesn't know about. But when he... When did they put the gem in his forehead? Was it after he was already up, or was it...
Ultron did that himself. It was already implanted, but he wasn't brought to life until Thor struck him with the lightning. So Ultron implanted the gem in Vision's
okay.
head.
Okay, all right. So then I guess... Then that's still kind of like... Yeah, why would... That still doesn't really explain why Jarvis would act... somewhat omniscient. You know what I mean?
Again, because... Herald of Doom. He knows they're going to die.
I mean, there is to be said something where you go from being a virtual intelligence to an artificial intelligence. You know, there's that leap. But, again, it just sort of struck me as a little bit off-putting that he didn't at least show some camaraderie with Tony or at least someone.
Or recognition. When he woke up, he jumped him. And, yeah. You know...
And he flew to Thor, the window, and he's like, what is this strange place?
And Thor stops them, because they're like, it's time to go dig in that ass. And he goes, oh, wait. Like, the fuck? And then he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize where I was. Mm. Oh, you have a cape. Let me make a cape.
Yeah, I did that like that. Great. I did. Like, he just kind of looks at me like, huh? And then the yellow cape. I did like that.
Cape.
Which, by the way, I didn't expect them to be using like his real face for that. I see Paul walking around.
It's literally him in a costume.
But look, there's no way. Look, Marvel's making movies for people who want to see the stars as whatever.
Paul Bettany's not a star though.
Well, no, he's been in what?
He's been in movies, but like he's not a star.
Paul Bettany as Jarvis has been in like 5 movies.
Yeah, but as an AI, he's not a star though.
People want to see Jarvis.
They want to know that, but they got whatever. Vision, not Jarvis.
But they're still going to hear Jarvis.
Hey. If David Hyde Pierce can be credited as Abe Sapien and Hellboy, then Jarvis
But you can't see his face though.
Yeah, that's but true. You can't that's tell for the same him. Reason that Doug Jones refused credit as Abe Sapien, because he felt David Hyde Pierce brought the character literally to life.
That's right.
Doug Jones wasn't credited at all for Abe Sapien in the original Hellboy movie.
Yeah.
You mean the guy who was the body actor?
Yeah, he wasn't credited.
Oh.
He refused credit for acting as Abe Sapien.
Wow, okay, interesting. Well, I just wanted to
that's
say
like Mark Hamill refusing credit for the Joker, because he only did the voice.
Eh.
Well, the guy who only did the body refused credit. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what it'd be. That's what it would be.
Well, my thing is this. Look at this movie, and how long did Captain America keep his helmet on?
He had it on for the whole final sequence, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
I don't remember.
No,
I
he didn't. And where's Thor's
who
helmet?
Who even cares? That's not the point, okay?
Yes, look, it is. People like seeing... the actors doing the thing.
Hollywood thinks people like seeing the actors. I don't think most people care. I think Hollywood.
I disagree with that.
Hollywood thinks people.
Chris Hemsworth?
Chris Hemsworth.
Come on.
He doesn't have a mask.
He doesn't have a mask. He has a helmet. That's it.
Exactly. But
and they have and they
hair.
Haven't brought it up since
it's the hair.
Thor has hair too.
Christopher Evans, that's a mask that he takes off because well then you can't see his face.
And again, I think it's Hollywood thinks that people want to see. In these movies, and truthfully, most people, I guarantee there's probably a subsection of the audience who does want to see them, but I think the core moviegoer could care less, and probably could care less. I think it's that old, like, movie star mentality that needs to die of, we need to show the actor's face.
I didn't even notice when he took it off, if he ever did. I didn't even realize it. So
I don't think they show it. He just shows up without it.
Again, I think it's just old Hollywood thinking, like, from, like, you know, when, like, Humphrey Bogart was a star in like the 1940s and 50s, and it's just carried over, and I think it needs to stop. Hopefully, it'll stop with Deadpool, because they've said that a lot of it is, you know, mask, not Ryan.
Because really, who cares about Wade? It's Deadpool.
But still, it's the care. I know
but it's
that
Ryan Reynolds.
But it's Ryan Reynolds. That's what we're saying.
Fuck you.
That's what we're saying is that.
Hey.
That's what we're saying. Is that this is going to be the first time, like, for a while, like, where they don't take the mask off for some dumb fucking reason.
So this one and Dread, basically, something
yeah,
that...
Yeah, and
then,
well, and Dread tanked, so that doesn't help.
So, still I mean, a good movie.
Whatever. It was okay.
If I may...
If you like violence, sure.
If I may continue yes. with mine. I enjoyed Wanda's character. I'll agree. I'll co-sign that with Iggy. Also, I enjoyed the chemistry between Hawkeye and the twins, whether it's sort of like he's trying to support Wanda or he's being adversarial with Quicksilver. It comes across as sort of like a mentor type thing, like a mentor role, and it feels genuine to me. That felt more genuine than the romance between Bruce and Natasha, actually, where it's like Daddy Hawkeye taking wow. care of his wow. twins or whatever. Yeah.
Speaking of Black Widow,
uh-huh.
I give them credit for not doing the typical, hey, look, it's Scarlett Johansson in tight leather. Let's show her ass. Because they did that in Avengers. They did it in Captain America Winter Soldier. They didn't do it here, you know?
I
give them
once.
A lot of credit for it. And they did it a lot in Avengers. It was just like ass.
ass.
Don't
ass,
get me wrong. Ass, she has a nice ass. But, you know, it was like, I'd say missing here. And I give them credit. I kind of miss it, but I give them credit for that.
If you want pictures of Scarlett Johansson's ass, you can just Google the internet.
True. I meant to drop on you guys. What did you think about all the complaints about how Scarlett Johansson's character basically being, you know, the whole...
We're going to get in trouble. We're going to
you know,
get
I,
in trouble.
I, I can't have
Taser.
Kids.
What? Taser. What? I had one more thing to say, and then we can...
Okay, go ahead. I just wanted to ask that question.
I didn't want it to be a longish discussion, so I just wanted to get it out of the way real quick. Okay, the scene where the whole thing is, the whole, you know, city is going down. It's just a brief little moment, but the scene where Vision swoops in and grabs Wanda and gets out of there, and there's that moment where he, like, looks at her, and
she looks
like,
at him. Senpai.
It's like... You know they were alluding to that.
Of course they were. I want to see some robot. And I'm not gonna get to sex, but I want to see some robot love.
Hell yeah!
I want to see
all that is love, Wanda. Show me. And
Wanda,
also,
show.
I'm really
no.
Sad.
You gotta do it in a British accent because Vision's British now.
Wanda, show me what love is.
Not a Cockney accent.
No, not Cockney. Come on.
Fine.
Like freaking... Whatever. But the point is, the moment was there.
Also, I missed it. I wanted to see it because I know they didn't include it. But look, when you're in an Eastern European town surrounded by mountains, you couldn't at least drop one little Wondegore. You couldn't drop it once.
Yeah,
that was the,
you're surrounded by...
No, mountains. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get that in Doctor Strange.
No, we won't.
Not like nestled at the foot of Mount Wondegore or Sokovia. No, nothing like that. Come on, man.
Maybe it wasn't at the. Maybe they weren't even near Mount Wondegore. Maybe Mount Wondegore is in a different location.
See, Mount Wondegore. You know, they could have dropped Mount Wondegore, and you know, maybe they're saving it for if they ever do High Evolutionary or something like that.
Well,
you
he
know?
Did but create the twins, after all.
Not in the movie. and don't get me started. I still have to find those comics so I could read it and then puke. Because
I'm reading them now. Worst part of the storyline.
I'm not surprised.
So yeah, that closes out my positives for the.
All right.
Okay. I'll, so then the question I ask.
I'll go first. You people are overreacting. What I saw, and to clear, this is people who only paid attention to that one thing. What I saw was obviously with the Black Widow nightmare and her, and she referenced the Red Room, which I thought was nice. Which no reference of the Red Room in freaking Winter Soldier, which is odd considering she would have known Bucky, or have met Bucky.
She would have known 616 Bucky. Remember?
No, that's what I'm saying. But like, if they're gonna go with like she's super like old, but they,
well,
I don't...
But the Red Room is the Soviet thing, and Bucky was held by the Shield.
That's right. Never mind. I forgot.
So that with that recap, they removed.
And
that.
He would have been in like storage in and out every now and again.
But they still knew each other. They still stuff. Whatever. The point is, I liked the reference to Red Room, but what I saw with Scarlet Witch was not just a woman who couldn't have kids. What I saw was a person. Who basically, and she alluded to it in the first Avengers movie when Hawkeye says, you know what it's like to have your brain ripped out. And she goes, yeah, you know I do. And she, like, what I saw was a deconstruction of a woman, of a person, not a woman, a person who had her humanity stripped away, had her make feel cold to become a killer, and the cherry on the top, because she was a woman, was losing her kids, was not being able to have kids. And I, you know, I don't understand, like, from, I can't understand how that make her look, how that makes her look weak. I can't understand the outrage. Like, to me, it doesn't make it look weak at all. It's tragic and it gives her more depth to her backstory. But, you know, like, to say, what I'm saying is, it was overreactive.
It really was.
Like, so, like, whiny feminists.
Yes.
Yeah, the radicals. You okay, know, like, it was just like, what? Like, you're focusing on, I can't have kids, and that's tragic. That is horrible, and sterilization is completely evil.
Yeah, they're focusing on the wrong thing.
The fact that that was the final straw. She was killing. She was being prepped to kill. She was basically having her humanity stripped away, and unfortunately for women, for at least in that whatever organization's cases, that was removing the ability to become pregnant. Removing her, that she can conceive a child. And I thought that was just like the icing on the cake. Not in a good way, by any means, of like just how fucked up her, like, she's a monster. Like, she was formed, she was created to become this literal monster in relation to Banner. So I thought that was a powerful scene, and this is a problem, this is a general problem that I have with some radical feminists, is that you can't, like, they want strong women, which means you can't, they don't want any woman to show that they have a weak side, because if they show a weak side, that means they think they're going to be regulated to, you know, like,
backup positions
or mom positions or anything else. When, if you saw the rest of the movie, she clearly wasn't. She held her own. She did well enough. She did what she needed to do. Granted, she still relented over, I can kind of agree with the fact that her focus on this movie was her relationship, and I thought, okay, I can see your point there, that being the only female, and they didn't do it in Avengers 1, so I can agree that, like, if you don't like the fact that a lot of her focus is on a relationship with Banner because she was the only real woman on the team, I can agree there to an extent. What I can't agree with is the fact that you think that, like, Josh Whedon is a misogynistic asshole, which is a complete weird thing to say considering who he fucking is. But, like, I can't agree with the fact that, you know, that the focusing on the sterilization was the key. It was, to me, a string of things on top of a person who was literally taken apart and retooled to be this killer. And I think, people, seriously, if you're one of these people, whether you're a feminist, a really radical feminist, or just a fucking piece of shit who threatens women on the internet, you're fucking scum, all right? And you threaten people, and you call them out on it, and you cuss them out, and you say you're gonna kill them. You're fucking weak ass trash, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like. It's like it's that internet thing, you know. It's all big talk, you know. Like, it's easy to spout out something when you don't have to face Joss Whedon in his face. Granted, I don't think Joss Whedon would punch you; he'd probably hug you first. But it's like, pussy. I think a lot of, and if there's anybody listening to, and you specifically said this, I think you bitches are overreacting. You really need to calm down. You focus on something that actually is fucked up versus trying to fabricate something that was part of a character's story and gave her a relation to another character and gave her something to relate to. There you go.
Yeah. Bri?
I agree with everything Iggy says.
Okay. Go ahead.
Everyone looked at this like, oh, well, they're degrading the character. They're you know, they're not focusing on what's right. Like, okay, look. I get it. She, at the time, was the only female Avenger. Fine. That being said, it goes with any character that they've had moments where they haven't immediately focused on just being a superhero. Every character has those moments. What is it? Captain America's arc with Peggy. No one called him out on that shit just because, you know, it was a romantic angle. every character has a romantic angle, every character has moments of vulnerability and stuff, but because she's a female, she's held to a different standard where she can't show that because then it's weakness. Any other character, any other male character would be called character development, but it wasn't character development. It was weakness because she's a woman. And you can't show weakness with women ever because...
They're not real people, Bri-Bri. They have to be strong always.
It's just, it strikes me, look,
I thought the purpose was to have a real character.
I know.
Not a
look,
freaking
imagine,
random.
I know. She, up until this moment, her past has been clouded in secrecy. We do absolutely nothing about like where she came from, what she was doing before this, except for the fact that she was working in Russia, apparently. That was all we got. So we finally get some character development. She divulges a piece of her soul that she's probably only told one other person, that's Hawkeye. And when she does this, when she gives this moment of vulnerability to someone she's trying to care about, oh, that's bullshit. That's weak. She can't do that. Why not? Why can't she do that? Because she's a woman. And she's weak. It strikes me as people not realizing that, again, with any other character, this would be called character development, not weakness. But because, A, she's a woman, and B, she's the only woman on an all-man team, she's held to a different standard. And I'm not saying that's for good or ill, because Black Widow has been badass in almost every single time we've seen her. She's an awesome fighter. She takes care of business. She doesn't take anybody's shit.
I need the other guy.
Yeah, exactly. And so when she comes to talk to when she comes to like a person romantically, it's not something, A, she's used to, because as we've seen, she's tried to cut herself off from almost all human emotion. And B, again, she divulges this very sensitive, vulnerable, and it's a painful memory for her. And it's something she'll never be able to get over because of what they did. So when they give her this moment of developing her character and sort of giving her character more depth and an understanding of why she is, and trying to build off of that show, oh, she's revealing this moment. So she's trying to be more open. She's trying to be more, you know, sensitive. She's trying to be more of a person. She can't be a person. That's fucked up. That's really, really fucked up. And to the... I don't know.
Again,
some
people just, like...
When a character can't be
It's not a character. It's just a one-note joke.
I know. But look, when you write these characters and you get upset because this character is not allowed to be a person... That's not right.
I really don't understand how some feminists don't want us like they want strong female again, they want strong female characters, but they can't show weakness, and that's not an interesting character. For me personally. You know, like that to me just like you're just power princess for all intents and purposes.
They're just I don't know I'm certain that it's just some kind of I hesitate to say inferiority complex because that comes off as sounding wrong, but I think it's the fact that they feel that if they don't get the strong female every second, they lose their position. And you
but
know,
the thing is, it's like
which
they
isn't
don't
right.
They don't because Black Widow is still a badass, and I guarantee you she'll still be a badass, and she just happens to have weight on her shoulder, just like every fucking everybody else does in the world. It's like it makes her a real person, who's also a badass.
Well, if I may. When I heard the article, I actually meant to post the article in our mini forum thing, and I'm an ass, and I completely forgot. I'll say this in regards to this topic. I didn't really care about, you know, finding out about Black Widow's past because, to be perfectly honest, who cares? You know, Black Widow's here, she kicks ass, she does her job, she takes it seriously. That's all I care about. You know, the reasons why she does it are immaterial as far as I'm concerned. As long as she does what she does and she gives justification for it, I'm good. Now, I will say this in regards to her and Hulk. Did you guys ever see that X-rated GIF of the first time Black Widow runs into Hulk and Hulk's mad? And what it leads to?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll post it in the gift, but let's just say it ends up with a very big coupling.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We're cutting you. Cut his mic.
No. I'm done on that one, but I will say this. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for our Avengers Age of Ultron commentary. We'll come back next week with episode number 201. With you can already tell with Secret War, we'll be reviewing both Secret Wars number 1 and 2. So look forward to that. We talk about the glorious that is we talk about it, and now we're gonna talk about the end of the Marvel Universe, ladies and gentlemen. So
End of the world, and I feel fine.
So we're gonna talk about Secret Wars next week. So sorry to disappoint people who were expecting a Secret Wars episode this week in Age of Ultron last week. Apologize, just things got really crazy for me for a little bit. So expect that next time we do this. Let's do for the next 3-4 films, shall we? Coming up next for special edition movies in July, we have the much anticipated Ant-Man. I'm gonna say it like that. Starring Paul Rudd, we get Ant-Man. And then in August we have the and it's growing every day. Anticipation of the FF film coming out in August, first week of August, so we're definitely going to do that. And then we got a long stretch till February of 2016 where Brian takes the spotlight as we take a hold of
Deadpool!
What comes first, X-Men or Captain America with Civil War? What comes first? I think it's
X-Men. The chicken or the egg.
Huh?
The chicken or the egg.
Brian, what comes up first? X-Men or...
I'm looking it up right now. I'm pretty sure it's X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay, so after Deadpool, after Deadpool, we have X-Men Apocalypse, which, God help me. Let's I'm hoping.
No, Civil War.
Okay,
comes first.
So we got Captain America, we got Avengers 2.5, and then we have X. And then to close out, we'll have X-Men Apocalypse. So within that span of a full year, and after that, we go silent till what? Doctor Strange? What's in 2016, the fall?
Star Wars.
No, that's this year.
Looking it up. Hang on.
We're not doing...
We're not doing Star Wars!
They have a Marvel comic. I think it applies.
Let us know in the comments if you would be interested in us doing a Marvel...
A majority vote.
Yeah, leave it to a majority vote. If you get it...
I say we do it. Just screw it. Screw the fans! Screw the fans!
Well, I think they want us to do it anyways, so I don't think we would be screwing the fans.
Yeah, okay. If I may cut in.
All right.
Cap Civil War's in May. Doctor Strange in November.
Oh my god!
Doctor Strange is that November, so we'll be doing it a couple months later. We'll have that.
Damn. Okay. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have a wonderful day.
Black Widow has big ring butt sex.
I got no strings to hold me down, to make me red or make me brown. I hit string, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me. Hi ho, the merry old.
I told you, huh?
Anyone, they got strings, but you can see.